أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. We are discussing the life history of the Prophet and his seerah in order that we may learn regarding the Prophet, and we started off from the past and came down to this point that the light of the Prophet was kept in the loins of his ancestors going back to Adam, as Allah placed it in Adam and brought it down to Ibrahim. From Ibrahim it came to Ismail and downwards it came. Now as Ismail settled down in Makkah and he grew up in Makkah, his progeny stayed in Makkah. Allah inhabited the land of Makkah through the well of Zamzam and the water that came out. Because of that, people came from different places in order to settle down there. Now at first, the tribe of Jurham, which had protected and had guarded Hajira and her son, eventually were the progeny of Ismail. But then as other tribes came in, especially the tribe of Bani Khuza'a, who outnumbered Bani Jurham and soon became more powerful than them, took over the reins of Makkah, and the progeny of Ismail and the tribe of Ismail went into being just a mediocre and a small average tribe in Makkah, amongst other tribes of Makkah. Now, as this was the case for thousands of years, so that this tribe and the progeny of Ismail were in a state of being unknown and not being in the power frame of Makkah. This lasted for thousands of years until one person from amongst the progeny of Ismail and from amongst the ancestors of the Prophet brought back the glory of Bani Jurham, the glory of Ismail's progeny, by standing up to Bani Khuza'a, fighting them and bringing the power back to the children of Ismail. That person's name was Qusay. Qusay, the great-great-great-grandfather of the Prophet, the grandfather of Hashim, and the father of Abd-Manaf. Qusay was the person who single-handedly brought back the glory that was lost by the children of Ismail back to them. And he established the rule over Makkah. He became the chief of Makkah, and the people also took towards him and they gravitated towards him until he eventually became the overall leader of Makkah that the Meccans have accepted. Now that, as he reinstated the tribe of Ismail back to power, many things he has done for Makkah that are noteworthy. For example, he was the first city planner of Makkah, who actually planned the city of Makkah. Until then, Makkah was was patches of tribes who came and settled down and built on their own, and they made their own land the way they liked it. And hence, if you see the land of Makkah, it would be one patch of people on one side, another patch of people on another side, with no semblance of it being a city. So the first person to organize Makkah as a city was Qusay. He made the Kaaba as the center of Makkah. He went to the tribes and said, let's build a city next to each other, let's move next to each other into neighborhoods by which there would be a semblance of a city. The people agreed with him, and they moved their places nearby, and now Makkah took the shape of an actual city. So that's the first thing that you see that he was able to accomplish. The second noteworthy contribution of Qusay to the people of Makkah and that region was that everyone in that region, because of the fact that this was a tribal region and every tribe had its own hierarchy and its own way of dealing with problems, they would have their meetings to solve problems or to make plans amongst themselves. There was no coordination with anyone else. Every tribe was on its own, and hence you see that led to many conflicts, because many people's, many tribes' interests would be conflicting with other tribal interests. So that led to many fights and many wars. So what one of the contributions that Qusay made in order to create an environment of peace in the region is that he created a place called Darun Nadwa. It was an assembly place where he got the tribes to agree that they would have a representative from amongst each tribe to come and represent the tribe and to deal with issues that have to do with all the tribes. And hence that was called Darun Nadwa. Darun Nadwa was the place that now, from now onwards, the people of Makkah used to come together and to discuss things in order to make their problems disappear, or to solve their problems, or to plan for the future. This was a contribution that Qusay made in order to create an environment. Now, all of this being done, even though it's being done at the hands of Qusay, but there is a grand design behind all of this that's taking place and shape in order to bring about the Prophet in the most ideal circumstances possible. So this is where, when we look at Qusay, when he made this contribution, first he established the children of Ismail as the chief of Makkah, and then he created an environment of peace, relative peace in Makkah, and a semblance of a city. So now, as he became the ruler of Makkah, it was his job to give over the reins to his successor, and that was his son Abdimanaf. At his deathbed, Qusay gave his ancestral chest, which contained the relics of his ancestors going back to Ismail and Ibrahim, all those relics that were there from them. There was a chest in which it was contained and passed on from generation to generation, from successor to successor, as they're called the Osiya, who carry on the succession of not only the mission and the cause of the Prophet that they represent, but also the relics and the remembrance of those people. So now, as it was passed on to Abdimanaf, he passed it on with one stern advice that he gave him. And that advice came like this, and he said to him that, listen, this light that you have within you and that I had before you is a trust that has been given by God to us. Allah has given this trust to us, so we must respect it, we must honor it, and we must guard it. So in order to do that, the one advice I give you is make sure that the spouse that you choose to put this light into, to transfer this light into, must be a spouse that is worthy of this light and this trust. With that advice, he left the reign and a successorship in the hands of his son Abdimanaf. Abdimanaf became the ruler of Makkah, the chief of Makkah. He went on to have wives and children. He had four sons. The oldest son was by the name of Amr, and then Abdush-Shams. The third one was Nawfal, and the fourth one was Muttalib. Now, the first two sons, Amr and Abdush-Shams, were conjoined twins. When they were born, they were joined together. It is said in history, either by their head, which seems very difficult at that time, but the other history that says that one's leg was attached to the other boy's head. So the leg of Amr, the foot of Amr, was attached to the head of Abdush-Shams. And so, as they were born like that, and in those days, medical practice wasn't advanced to just do a surgery. Wise people at that time, the experienced people at that time, had to separate them and advise that they need to be separated. And they said that, well, the way that we separate twins like that is by the Arab way of doing it, and that is using the sword to cut them in half. And that's what was happening. They used the sword in order to separate the twins. One's leg, one's foot attached to the other person's head. And so now the time came for them to come together. Everyone was there. The most experienced person came forward who held the sword. The boys were put down. And so now he went and he struck between the foot and the head in order that he can get a clean cut. They were separated, but that led to a lot of blood being spilled. A lot of blood was spilled on both sides. The children bleeded profusely. And that bleeding, the excessive bleeding that took place, was witnessed by those who were around. And it was a omen. They took it as an omen. And the astrologers of the time, the soothsayers of the time, when they heard that there was bleeding between the two, they prophesied and they said that, well, these two have been separated, but their separation is not just physical, but it is also in their affinity, in the sense that they are going to be enemies of one another. They will be at war with one another, and there will be much blood that will be spilled between the two. That was a prophecy that was made and an omen that was taken that way. So when that was taken that way, they went on to live. And after that, when they became older, Abd-Manaf, when he came to his deathbed, he handed over his power and made his son Amr the successor. Amr became the chief of Makkah. And Amr by himself was a very generous and giving person. He was so generous that his generosity was to a fault. He was so kind that he would go out of his way to first deal with people before he looks after himself. It is said of him that when that time a drought came in the region and in Makkah, and people were starving and didn't have food to eat, he went and sold his cattle and his livestock in Sham, in Syria, and bought wheat with it and brought it on his camel's back. And he then made food every day. He made bread every day with that wheat until the drought that was taking over Makkah was finally over. All the days that people were there, everyone was invited to eat with him. And he used to make the bread, and he used to break the bread on the curry that was made. And as he was breaking the bread, he was seen doing that so much that his name switched from Amr to what that means, the breaker of bread, in Arabic known as Hashem. Hashem, the breaker of bread, that's what he was. This Hashem, The great grandfather of the prophet was Hashem. And he was the person that as he came about, he was taking the advice of his father, who had given the same advice as his father had given to him of marrying the right wife and making sure that the light is passed to a noble container. So he went on and he married many and had 8 children, 4 boys and 4 girls. But he saw that the light that he had and he bore in his forehead that shone there still was not transferred. So he knew that this is somewhere else. And it was one day while he was next to the Kaaba, and he was praying next to the Kaaba, that he asked Allah, that Allah, you have given this trust to me. So help me to transfer this trust into the rightful container. And there as he prayed in the daytime, he went to sleep. And in the sleep, he saw a vision that told him that go and get that rightful container for your light is there in Medina. Medina in those days known as Yathrib. He saw that the container was with the chief of Makkah by the name of Amr. As soon as he saw this dream, he woke up in excitement, went towards his people and let them know. He let his family know that this is what I saw in my dream, and this means that we must go to Yathrib in order to find the wife who would bear the seed of prophethood. The whole family became excited and they right away made a caravan to leave. They made the caravan and they went from Makkah and they went to Medina. They went to Medina, and in Medina they came right away to the house of Amr. Amr, looking and seeing that the chief of Makkah is here, was flattered. He went out and met him. They came we see that they greeted each other with respect and honor. And Amr came and Hashem came and asked the question. He said, listen, I have come here to ask for your daughter, which he knew as Salma, your daughter in marriage. Amr was flattered. He was saying, I am honored that you asked me like this, and there's no problem on my side, but my daughter is not here. She's at a fair. There was a fair that was going on in Medina, in a Jewish neighborhood in Medina. The fair is called Hunaka, and in that place, she's gone there, and our way is that we always take the permission of the daughter before we say yes. So if you wait around, she will be back in 3 days. Hashem and his brother Muttalib and everyone was there. They said, well, you know, why should we wait here for 3 days? Let's go to the fair ourselves. So they go to the fair, and in the fair they pitch their tents. Hashem has a very expensive tent made out of the skin of a red-skinned camel, which is worth a lot in Makkah. Huge price, even more than gold. People saw this as something that is rare. And he pitched this tent. The tent, looking beautiful and grand, caught the attention of many people. And that too, when they looked at the owner of the tent, they were doubly shocked. Because Hashem was someone who was a very handsome man. Truly handsome and appealing and very attractive. He was a person that when he walked down the street, he would turn heads. And people will watch him walk by in admiration. His appeal, his charm, and the way that he looked and the light that emanated from him truly attracted people everywhere. So as he pitched the tent and they saw the tent and they saw Hashem, the owner of the tent, people were enamored towards him. They were attracted towards him. In fact, he became the center of attraction in the fair. Now, since this was a Jewish neighborhood, and obviously the Jews were there, they also looked at Hashem in admiration. But one of the peculiar things that they noticed in Hashem was the fact that he had a light on his head that was emanating from his head. And they could not understand what this light is. They knew it, they understood it, they spoke to one another, they asked their scholars and said, there is someone here. The scholars, intrigued by this information, came forward to see the light that's emanating from his forehead. That was very clear. And as they saw it, they said, well, lo and behold, this is the sign. This is a sign that we have been told about. The sign of the seed of the light of the last prophet and the messenger, the one who will come as a savior. But they didn't view him as a savior. They saw him as the last messenger who would destroy all other religions and all other ways of life. Every religion and every people will submit before him. They'll all submit before him. So this is how it came about, that they came to know this light of the prophet, and they felt threatened by this light. They felt that, hey, listen, we need to do something about this. There is no doubt that this is the thing that we have been told about. Our adults and our elders have told us about this. It's written in our books. So as they came, so obviously many other people see him also. And Hashim came in the eyes of the Jewish clan that was in Medina. And other people saw him also and were intrigued. And one of the people who saw him was Salma, the daughter of Amr, for whom Hashim came here. She was told that Hashim came asking for your hand. When she saw Hashim, she felt attracted towards him. And she really felt affection for him just by seeing the grandeur of this person. And how handsome he was, and how well he carried himself, and the honor that he walked around with. It was impressive, as he impressed many others. Now Shaitan knew that this had to be stopped. It is said in hadith and riwayat and history that Shaitan came to her, whether it was Shaitan or a shayateen or from one amongst the people, who came to her in order to weaken her resolve, made a comment to her and said that, hey, yeah, you know, even though he came to ask for your hand in marriage, but here's the thing, this person that who's asking your hand, he's a womanizer. Yes, you know, he just runs after women and he uses them and abuses them and throws them away. He's a coward. You know, you shouldn't get married to him and you should not be involved with him. In fact, you know, yeah, he looks all good, but not everything that looks good is actually good. Now, when he said that, and obviously, you know, Salma, you know, had some doubts. Oh, you know, then I, you know, she changed her mind. Even though I'm attracted towards him, but still, if he's like that, then I don't want to marry him. When Amr came and met her, and she told that to Amr, Amr was like, what are you talking about? Are you kidding me? Who's telling you these things? You're talking about Hashim. Hashim is the chief of Makkah. He is known for his greatness. His reputation precedes him. Everyone who knows him is only praised for him. Who's telling you these things? So he was able to convince Salma of not getting into the words of people and to trusting him that Hashim is not what some people have lied to you about. He's much more than that. He's much greater than that. And this is how we see that now Hashim was able to ask for his daughters. But then Salma still had a doubt. She did have a doubt regarding the fact that he might be a coward, because it was told to her. And as it was told to her, she still had the doubt. As she had the doubt, that doubt had to be removed. So Allah had to create a scene. Allah had to make an arrangement by which this doubt can be removed, that she marries Hashim with complete confidence that he is her rightful husband. What was that arrangement? That is going to come in the next speech. And we will move on from there. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path, the wisdom to understand His guidance, Hasten the reappearance of our Imam and make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhir da'wana. Anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.